premium ammunition. Mr. Lyons, 1 hour down. We've got 2 hours to go. And, you know, as is tradition, each of the different hours, we like to bring in a special guest. And in the studio with us today is the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, which has been a regular guest on the program, especially on these Memorial Day shows. And it's kind of nice to spice it up a little bit and have some additional people in the studio with us, isn't it?
Well, it was a great first hour with the chaplains. Nice way to start the show. And, of course, the commissioner's been on for quite a few years. The first 14 years of this, I was the host, and he was with me. And now you've been the primary host for the last 2 years. You've gotten to know him quite well because of that radio and other things. And in the third hour, we'll have the adjutant general, the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard, on. It makes for a nice morning, and commissioner, welcome back on Memorial Day. I think we've done this before.
We have. It's deja vu. Good morning,
deja vu all over again. Yeah. To good morning, Doug. Famous quote. It's good to have you in, and we do appreciate you coming in, on this morning. We know that, and I'll let Tom ask you about that a little bit later on. We know you've had already a busy weekend, productive weekend, as we like to say, rather than saying busy. And it is great to have you in here, and we do appreciate you spending an hour with us, and we'll have the opportunity with you to talk to the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system in a little bit. And then, of course, one of your directors, Dave Swantek, from the State Veterans Cemetery. So that's going to be really, really nice. So again, welcome and thanks for being here. Let's start here. I think it's important to kind of ground ourselves, Commissioner, and you served, obviously, in our United States military, the Army Reserve, active Army as well, fellow MP. Talk to us, our audience, a little bit about what Memorial Day means to you, not only personally, but professionally as well.
Yeah. It's, there's two really big events of the year when you're commissioner. You know, one of them's Memorial Day, one of them's Veterans Day. So it's been a really busy weekend, like the Veterans Day one is for me, but also very important. And all these events I've been to, so many community members out there, and so great to see that they're there as well, supporting our veterans and remembering those who have passed, either through hostile actions or just through time. So I've been in the business a long time, and fortunate to know a lot of veterans and assist a lot of veterans over that time. And it's just inevitable. I was thinking about it this morning on my drive up that, when I started in the business, we still had World War I veterans running around. And I used to go down to the basement and pull their DD-214s, which they weren't called DD-214s back then, but to assist them. So lots of wonderful memories of a lot of very special veterans, many heroes over the years. So I'm very fortunate to have those experiences.
Now, Commissioner, professionally, right? I mean, you're the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We've got, 270,000, 300,000, depending on, the time of the year, I guess, of how many veterans we have in Minnesota. But leading this agency with or for Minnesota veterans, how does that weigh on you? I mean, that's a big responsibility. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, no, it is. A weekend like this, I don't get much time to enjoy it like a lot of folks do. But as you said, it's my responsibility, and it's an honor to be in the position where I can attend these events and pay those proper respects to our veterans and those who have passed. Yeah.
Commissioner, you've been working at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for quite some time now.
Since before the turn of the century.
There you go. And you've experienced, as you mentioned, the World War I guys are gone, the World War II guys are not too many of them left.
Right.
Korean guys, there weren't many to start with, but they're... And now the Vietnam veterans are, my generation, are dying off quick. Do you get a feeling of, as time passes, that to me, it just feels sad that we're losing some of these heroes that fought? And, of course, all of those people, those veterans that die, new people that died in service to their country, and to them and to us, This is a very important day. How does it feel from your chair to see the passing of those generations?
Yeah, I think you guys know I'm a big history buff, and every day, basically, we're losing history. I've known veterans who were in the Ranger Battalion in Normandy in World War II, just absolute heroes. I went down about 2-3 weeks ago now. The commissioner from Nebraska called me, and he'd seen a news story about a Minnesota World War II veteran, a Wave. So she served in the Navy in World War II, and they have a medal of recognition for their World War II veterans. And he asked me, he goes, could you get a medal to her, because she was from Nebraska and I would like to get her a medal? And I said, I'll do you one better. I'll drive down there and I'll give it to her myself. And so I met the county veteran service officer down there, and we went to her house. She's 104 years old, still lives at home by herself, still drives to church. Her name was Lois Widmark, but just an amazing lady. But again, touching history that day, and it was just a very special time to spend with her.
And it's not just things like that. Recently, the return of the remains of Willibald Bianchi.
Yes.
And you were there to experience that as well, in representing the state of Minnesota, the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, and just the stories. We had the opportunity to interview the niece and nephew.
Yeah.
And
can you imagine the family wondering where is he? What happened to him?
Right.
But finally having that closure,
hope that they might find the remains, and then all of a sudden they get the call.
Right. Which is becoming more and more common now. The defense prisoner war, missing in action, those folks who identify remains, it's a constant ongoing thing. Still from World War II era, and they're located. We heard yesterday we had a family member of a veteran that he was killed in World War II, and they hadn't found his body. So at Little Falls, we had a memorial headstone for him. So if we don't have a body, it'll say in memory of.
Sure.
And he's been identified now and's coming back, and it's the first time we're going to replace an in memory of headstone with an actual headstone.
Love
with
it.
That World War II veteran coming home again. So,
And out in Hawaii, there's still the technology is changing. They're still identifying.
It certainly is.
Fresher, on Saturday, you attended a special ceremony, Medal of Honor, Medallion, and Civil War Headstones dedication event. That must have been fascinating, especially for a history buff.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a big big Medal of Honor month for me as well there, yeah. So, It goes back a couple of years now. The local Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War, one of their missions is to place markers on Civil War veterans' graves who are unmarked. And there are quite a few, because most of them were originally a wooden marker. Mm-hmm. So they just rotted away over the years. And so they've worked to document those individuals and request their headstones from the VA. I got called on this one case, though. His name's Captain Joseph Berger. He's buried in St. Paul at Lakewood Cemetery, and he's a Medal of Honor recipient, and he had no marker to indicate Medal of Honor. And the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War commander called me and asked, or he told me, he said, I've contacted VA about this, and they say they can't give him one. And I said, well, I know a guy. So I called up DC to one of the deputy undersecretaries, and he said, he goes, VA was created after World War I. Our law doesn't allow us to give a medallion to mark the graves of those pre-World War I. But he said, you just gave me the use case we've been looking for in order to move to change the law. So over the last year or so, they did that. They changed the law. And yesterday, he flew out, and we had a ceremony, and we placed that Medal of Honor medallion on Captain Joseph Berger's memorial, or his headstone. He earned that Medal of Honor when he was 14
years
old. He was guarding a wagon train with about 20 other fellows, and they were attacked by about 130 Confederate cavalry, held them off and protected the supply train, the wagon train, and he received that at 14 again. And interestingly, he is the grandfather of former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Warren Burger.
I'll be dang.
Well, so quite the family.
And that, Tom, is how you get things done, by making a phone call to D.C.
I know a guy.
I know a guy. That's got to be a good common phrase then, right?
Absolutely.
But only use it when you actually do know a guy.
Exactly. Glenn Powers is his name, and Glenn's been around for a long, long time, like myself. So good fellow to know.
Commissioner, a few years back, I know we're almost out of time, I had a tour of Fort Snelling National Cemetery there was a Marine Corps officer that was running it at the time. He told me there's a section, or maybe two, where when they opened Fort Snelling, they moved in some Civil War remains. And I don't know if you were aware of that or not, but he drove me over by that. And some of the names, you know, the names were different back then, but there's a lot of history at Fort Snelling as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So we've got just about a minute and a half, and I just want to get this question to you, Commissioner, real quick here before we go to break. And, you know, Minnesota, we talk about it always being a national leader in veteran services, and I'm just wondering if there's one thing you want to highlight that you're most proud of. Maybe it's this past legislative season or, you know, in your time as the commissioner.
Yeah, it's hard to narrow things down, you know, as an Iraq war veteran. I was very proud to push forward the legislation to create the bonus for the post 9/11 veterans. We're coming up here this summer on the 25th anniversary of 9/11. But one particularly from this session is a complete change. Passed legislation that will allow for burial of our National Guard and Reserve who were previously not eligible for burial at our state veterans cemeteries. So that takes effect in November, and we're going to be serving more veterans and more of those who have served the state and the nation real soon.
Doing what the mission of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We'll be back with more of the commissioner and the director from the Minneapolis VA. This special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Here with me, my special co-host, Mr. Tom Lyons. We also have the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs with us in the studio. And calling in for this segment is the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, Mr. Pat Kelly. Director, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio on this special Memorial Day broadcast.
Well, good morning, Doug. Boy, Tom, good morning. Brad, boy, you got the A-team in there. I'm happy to be able to join you on your show this morning.
Well, we're glad to have you here as well, Director. And we get you for not that long, just about maybe 6 minutes or so. And I know that you've got some things going on today, and I want to talk a little bit about that and give Tom and Brad an opportunity to talk to you a little bit too. But the first thing I'd like to do is just talk about the fact that the Fort Snelling National Cemetery, their event is taking place at 10 a.m. this morning, and you're going to be a distinguished guest out there.
You know, I go every year. It's a great event. This year, we're going to have sunshine. It's going to be even greater. It's a beautiful day. So, you know, the ceremony itself, for your listeners who haven't been, I would really encourage that they go. And this morning it's at 10. But, you know, the ceremony is a beautiful tribute to, of course, service members who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and consists of, you know, wreath laying and speeches. You know, Governor Walz, the senators, a number of the VSO commanders are present, and the Army band plays some beautiful service tributes and other music. This year, the keynote speaker is going to be Richard Middleton. He's the commander of the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Memorial Rifle Squad. Again, the Memorial Rifle Squad does incredible work, and, you know, they are volunteers at the Minneapolis VA. They do their work over at Fort Snelling, and again, they have, for years, they've consecutively attended veterans internments at Fort Snelling. Great tribute. And nationally, NCA expects, you know, more than, 70,000 volunteers to participate in Memorial Day activities around the nation in a number of national cemeteries. So it's a somber day, but it's really a great tribute at Fort Snelling. And again, it's going to be a beautiful day there today.
Director, this is Tom. Good to talk to you on the radio again.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, sir. For our listeners out there, they may not be aware that you are a retired Navy captain. You served in healthcare for many, many years. After that, you retired and went to work for the VA. I think you worked down in Sioux Falls for a short period of time, and you've been up here as the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for at least 10 years, because we've had you on the show way over 100 times, learning all kinds of incredible things about what's going on out there. But what I'm getting to here, sir, is you've been surrounded by service members and veterans your entire career in healthcare. And I'm wondering, is there someone or something you think about on Memorial Day? And I know that you're always out taking care of the veterans, and you're going to be at Fort Snelling today. Every time I see a veterans event, you're there and you're honoring them, and you and your staff are taking fabulous care of the veterans, because I'm one of the patients I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom. So I served 28 years in the Navy, as you point out. In my course of my years, I of course have known many service members, particularly sailors who've paid the ultimate sacrifice in service to their country. So I'm always mindful of them. You know, going to Fort Snelling is sort of my way every year of paying tribute to them and all others. I also, in my family, I'm from Mankato originally, and it's an opportunity for me. I go to Mankato every year following the Fort Snelling Cemetery along with my family, and that's where my parents and grandparents and others, almost all of whom served in the military in some variety. None of whom died in service to their country, but in my family, at least, it's kind of extended over the years to us visiting the cemetery, cleaning things up, laying flowers at the grave marker, and so that's just a part of our family tradition. But again, I've been at the VA for 13 years, the Minneapolis VA, and every year I go and to Fort Snelling, and that's really how I sort of memorialize and pay tribute to those that I remember personally, but also to the many, many others who are interned there in Minnesotans there in Fort Snelling.
Very, very important. Thank you, Director Kelly. As a former NCO, I'll just give you one safety brief point here, though, since I've spent the last 2 days outside at events for Memorial Day. We share the same affliction, so sunscreen on the top of the head.
And drink water.
I recognize that problem.
Yes.
Hey, I'm way ahead of you, Commissioner. I've learned the hard way for the years. Thanks for the
very,
advice. So.
Very good, very good. Could you also remind us, I know the VA has a legacy memorial website. Can you remind us what that is and what that's about?
Yeah, thanks. So the VA encourages all, really all Americans, but especially family and friends of deceased veterans and service members to honor those veterans that they know on what's referred to as the Veterans Legacy Memorial website, or VLM, as it's called. And that's run by the National Cemeteries Administration, and they use modern technology intended to keep alive the legacy of veterans who are interned at VA national cemeteries. So anybody can access NCA's online memorial just simply by going at va.gov/remember. Again, that's va.gov/remember. People can look up a veteran's page. They can put somebody's name in there, look up their page, and post a brief comment saluting that veteran's service. And, so nearly 10 million veterans are memorialized with an individual page on the VLM website. And it's just another way to memorialize and keep that veteran's legacy alive. And so It's easy to do. VA pushed out an email this morning to veterans who are on their distribution list, encouraging veterans to do that. So, again, that's the VLM, and it's at va.gov/remember.
What a great way to remember and honor those who have served. Director, hey, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you calling in, spending a couple minutes with us on our special live show. Please take the commissioner's advice, put on that sunscreen out there. We don't want your head burned, and enjoy the rest of the weekend. And thanks for doing what you're doing to take care of our Minnesota
gentlemen.
Veterans.
Thank you all very much for having me on the show.
You bet.
Thank you, Director. This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. My co-host with me for today's special live broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is Mr. Tom Lyons, and this special broadcast is brought in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. Mr. Tom Lyons, as I said, is here with me. We've also got the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs joining us for this full hour. And calling in right now is the Director of Memorial Affairs for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. He oversees the four state veteran cemeteries. Mr. David Swantek. Dave, how are you doing today?
Hey, Doug, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, doing well. Hey, thank you for calling in. It's good to have you on. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to call in. We know you've had a busy weekend. I'm going to let someone else talk to you about that. before we get into it, because we don't have a whole bunch of time with you, just over 10 minutes or so, maybe 15. But I want to talk, Dave, about what this means to you. You know, you've been in this business for a long time. You've interred a lot of heroes in the state cemeteries. And I'm just wondering if you want to talk a little bit about Memorial Day and really what it means to you, how it impacts you.
Yeah, it's our biggest event every year at our now four state veteran cemeteries across Minnesota. And you know, it's really a day to reflect, you know, not just the work that we do every year and honoring each and every veteran or one of their dependents that we bury at our cemeteries. But it gives us time to bring people into our facilities that maybe didn't attend a service, never attended a service, and just kind of take in the inspiring nature of the cemeteries and the meaning of what they are. We've always said our cemeteries earlier are individual monuments to the service of the thousands of veterans that we've provided a burial service for every year, and this annual event gives the community and family members and living veterans an opportunity to, kind of reflect and remember those who have sacrificed a lot for the freedoms that we all enjoy.
Hi, Dave. This is Tom Lyons. I hope you remember the voice.
Hey, Tom. I didn't know you were going to be on today, but certainly remember the voice, and it's great to hear it again. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well. This is the 16th year of our live Memorial Day show, and it's an honor to be here with Doug. He's taken over as primary host the last couple of years, but so I feel like I'm talking to an old friend. When I first met you, Little Falls was up there, and you had moved in from Wyoming and built that one out, and since that, you've built three more. A lot has happened over the last 16 years.
Boy, a lot has happened. It's incredible to kind of think back. It's easy to kind of forget sometimes where we've come from, but I'm really proud of what we've developed out across the state and the services that we're providing to our veterans and their families.
And, of course, now we've got the state cemeteries in Little Falls, Preston, Duluth, and Redwood Falls. And in this business, there are four state cemeteries and one federal cemetery in Minnesota, and that gives the families of those that those veterans who've died an opportunity to bury their veterans closer to home. And I know that's been really important to you over the years.
It is important and really a driving factor in our expansion of, you know, original location in central Minnesota, adjacent to Camp Ripley and Little Falls. And you know, starting in Preston in 2015 and then continuing on to Redwood Falls. We opened 3 years ago. It's exactly as you just stated. It's getting these facilities in outstate regional locations across the state that, you know, open up access for families to at least consider a burial in one of our veteran cemeteries that is close to their home. Makes it easier for them to be able to visit their loved ones that are interred at one of our facilities. And so, you know, over the course of 3 decades, I think we've been pretty successful in you know, expanding the reach of the service that we provide and gets it out into those rural communities or regions across the state. And I just think it's been tremendously successful in what we've been able to establish and now operate.
Dave, I want to thank you for keeping them all in beautiful shape. The commissioner's got a question for you.
Hey, Dave, good morning, and thanks for joining us early. You know, as a director, no OT for you, of course, but glad to have you on. Yeah, this is the first time in over 20 years that a sergeant major's made me get up at 4:30 a.m., so I appreciate you jumping on here with us, too. You know, yesterday, I know you know I was up at Little Falls for their event. You know, one thing I've tried to do as commissioner is go to a different cemetery every year to participate in their Memorial Day activities. And Little Falls was my day yesterday, and I was joined by Senator Klobuchar up there. Beautiful day for it. As Tom said, I commented on what an absolutely beautiful state the cemetery was in and always is in. And so... just great. So I was just wondering if you could share, you know, maybe some highlights about those 4 Memorial Day events that we held yesterday, because we always do it on the day before, the Sunday before Memorial Day, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's one of the things that we've kind of continued to highlight is the fact that we do it on the day before actual Memorial Day today. You know, that wasn't something that I established. That had been going on for, I think, the first service that they had in Little Falls the year prior to me arriving there back in 1996. And we've just continued that tradition really based on feedback that not only families but veterans that participate in local events through their veteran service organizations. We don't conflict with those in any way by doing our events on Sunday and doing them in the afternoon, the day before the traditional events that take place or taking place today across, you know, communities across the entire nation. I think it's worked well for us. And as you saw yesterday, we haven't talked yet, but I'm sure there was over 1,000 people out there like there traditionally is, especially on a beautiful day like we had yesterday. And so we're going to continue to do these events on Sunday. I think it works out great and increases our participation.
Absolutely. And the added bonus, it allows the commissioner to hit his cemeteries on Sunday and then hit his veterans' homes events on Monday. On the actual day, so where we, you know, we also hold events for the residents of each of those facilities as well. So, yep, it was beautiful.
So, Dave, you know, obviously a great event. The numbers will roll in. You did have a beautiful day yesterday for people to come out to each of the different cemeteries. This might seem kind of like an awkward question, but I'm just wondering if you have to put in a bunch of extra time to prepare for this, because I feel like anytime I've been to one of the state veteran cemeteries, it's already looked like it's ready to go for people to come out and see it, to visit it. I mean, obviously you've got setup stuff, right? You know, chairs and a tent and stuff like that. But, you know, do you have to do a bunch of extra work around the cemetery? Because it takes a lot to put an event like this on.
Yeah, great question, Doug. Of course it's extra work, but you know, in terms of how the cemeteries look, the appearance, what you see when you drive in the gate, not really. I mean, that's our standard. You know, our standard is perfection, and what we do in memorial affairs at our 4 state veteran cemeteries. And, you know, but this might sound a little corny, but it's true. And that's that we get one chance to do it right. When we're you know, conducting burial for a veteran or a veteran's dependent at one of our locations, you can't make a mistake because it just has a huge negative impact on the experience of those families. And, you know, with our cemetery team members across the four locations, one thing I really drive home with them is that chance to get it right starts when somebody drives in the front gate to one of our locations. And that's all based on appearance. You know, what are they seeing? What's that experience when they instantly drive through the gate of the cemetery? And I think we do a really good job of having that initial kind of visual experience of driving through one of our gates be very positive for families, for veterans, for community members. And so what you see on a great day like yesterday is, you know, our goal is to have it look like that every day. Of course, the setup and all of that isn't there, but, you know, that represents the extra work that we do, a little bit of coordinating, getting things set up, getting a sound system set up, making sure that everything's kind of ready to go. But, you know, in terms of what the cemetery looks like, our goal is to have it look like that every single day.
So Dave, you mentioned excellence is our standard, which of course I completely agree with. And, you know, all three of the cemeteries that are eligible and get a regular every 3-year inspection from the federal VA. And I know the three established cemeteries have all achieved operational excellence ratings from the VA over and over again. Fabulous. Like I said, our staff do a heck of a job. But yeah, you know, what do families tell you about these ceremonies that we have and about what the resting places of their loved ones mean to them?
Yeah, it's, you know, we get a lot of really positive feedback. I was in Duluth yesterday for the event up there, and you know, after the event, as my wife and I were you know, departing from the ceremony area and walking around the cemetery a little bit, I got stopped on numerous occasions from folks that were there. And, you know, it's not that I'm just the guy in the suit walking around, but they're very sincere and genuine and not thanking me necessarily, but just thankful for the facility and thankful for what it means and thankful that it exists in these communities, which they live in or near. And so, you know, again, having this annual event that we put on at our locations, it has deep meaning to families and veterans. And, you know, it may be that the vast majority of people that stop me on a day like yesterday aren't veterans. You know, their friends or neighbors or just an interested community member. So I think that speaks volumes about this, you know, our locations, our facilities, and the service that we provide, that it is recognized beyond the veteran community, and it runs deep.
Commissioner, I think those people that aren't veterans that are at your state cemeteries are probably going home saying, boy, I wish my local cemetery was taken care of half as well as your state cemeteries. Dave, as I said earlier, I've been following you for years, and you've been crisscrossing the state and building these cemeteries. I heard a rumor there might be a fifth one coming. Is that true?
Well, it is true that we're at least working towards that, considering it. The first thing is we go out and, well, we identify location, obviously, to start with. And if you look at the map or the coverage of what we have with our four cemeteries, it's not a glaring gap in the northwest part of the state, but there is a gap up there. And I think the fact that we recently opened a veterans home in the Bemidji area makes that Bemidji area appealing to us, and it really is kind of the final, I don't want to say unserved, but maybe underserved area in terms of having a veteran cemetery there. So, you know, we're not here to announce today that we're going to build a cemetery, but we're definitely looking at it seriously. was up there a week or so ago and starting to put boots on the ground, looking around at some property up there. So it's kind of a repeat of my responsibility over the past decade or so and expanding what we have. And, it's safe to say that this would be our final location if we were able to get this project pulled together. But, maybe 5 years from now or something, we'll be talking about opening day of something coming up in the future. So we'll see what happens.
Commissioner, I think Dave's in his battle rhythm. He wants to build one more.
And, you've got the right guy in place. He's, he's done three of them, so I think he can do it.
Absolutely. We got to get done before he retires, before we lose our
expertise. We've got about 2 minutes left here. Commissioner, I know you've got a final question you'd love to ask Dave.
Yeah, Dave. So, as we wrap up here, what do you want our listeners to remember as they leave one of our cemeteries or attend a ceremony at one of our cemeteries or at Fort Snelling today?
Yeah, it's a great question. I saw something from one of our former CVSOs in Central Minnesota social media posting talking about the differences between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and it's really about remembering. Commander John Bodai, our guest speaker in Duluth yesterday, is the commander of the Coast Guard out of Duluth there, and he did a really nice job in kind of asking folks to pause and just reflect on, maybe the name on a headstone at one of the cemeteries. And, I thought the messaging was perfect, and he delivered it very well. And the takeaway was take a moment. Maybe it's a name that you don't know, but every one of those names tells a story. Some of our veterans serve heroically and have, become heroes in a lot of ways, and others kind of silent service, long careers that, maybe were just kind of silent, so to speak. But they all tell a story. They all had a purpose. And so I think that's what this day is really remembering and reflecting the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of individuals that have served our great country. And today is the day to remember and reflect on that service and what it means to us as Americans living in this great nation.
As long as they're remembered, they're never truly gone, right?
That's right, Commissioner. That's right.
Thank you, Dave. And Commissioner, thank you for stopping in again for I don't know how many
thank
years.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You've been here for a long time. And Doug, next hour we're going to have the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard on, Major General Sean Mankey. But for now, this special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Federal Premium Ammunition. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.